Welcome to Season 5 of Retrain Your Brain. I'm Chartered Psychologist Dr. Audrey Tang, and it's not enough to know what to do. You have to feel strong enough to do it. I use practical positive psychology tools alongside coaching to create that healthy buffer to the dips of life's roller coaster so you can continue to flourish. And this season, we're going to look at some of those tools. Life brings with it a certain amount of stress. After all, when something is worth having, it can often take a little bit of fighting for. And as adults, we are less protected by the phrase, I didn't know, or I haven't learned that yet, or even mum and dad will bail me out. We have the power of making choices, and at the same time, we need to stand by the consequences of those actions. That adds an extra amount of stress. So life can sometimes push us from the stress that we quite enjoy, that makes us feel we've achieved, to thinking, now I'm struggling to survive. As humans, we are often walking that fine line between, that's about right, now watch me grow from this and stop the world I want to get off. For many, especially if we haven't learned to manage our capacity for stress, we may well be veering towards the latter. And life doesn't help. Our 21st century life has busyness as a badge of honour. Living in a constant state of just treading water type stress is damaging not only to our health, but to our relationships. Physiologically, stress was simply a warning light. It prepared us to survive, whether that was through running away or fighting the threat. It's never been there as a badge of honour, and it's certainly not a state in which one can expect to thrive. Research into the posts on social media also showed a change from the cocktails and golf course posts in the early part of 2010 to 2015 as the mark of success, to those from 2015 to 2019 expressing busyness as an indicator of how well one was doing. And even now, take a moment to reflect on yourself. What is your first emotion when you find that moment to yourself? Is it guilt? Is it that thought, I need to be doing something? And then do you go and pile your life full of things that you don't actually want to do just so you can be busy? My guest speaker, Reverend Mandy Marriott, on one of my lockdown webinars last year said, we're so busy being human doings, we forget that we actually thrive as human beings. But it also goes deeper than that. There is a problem with constantly living in survival mode. As a positive psychologist, I advocate the notion of thriving, that is flourishing beyond ordinary. To me, yes, survival is certainly admirable, but managing, just getting by, is not living. And if we remain within that stressful state for so long as we manage, it's likely to have repercussions on our physical and mental health. While you may think, I can handle this low level of stress, as resilient beings, yes, we probably can, but only if it stays that way and disperses. Don't forget, that's what the threats in the wild used to do. Now, we have psychological threats. There are other environmental factors that compound our experience, and stress can be man-made. And if it's man-made, even psychological, it's less likely to disappear unless we make it disappear. Compounding this further is things like the spa day or that drink after work are not available to us, certainly not at the time of saying this. I'm in lockdown right now. And those things, whilst great, will certainly soothe you temporarily. However, they don't necessarily produce the mindset change needed to unmake all of that pressure. Therefore, not having them available to us right now may be actually of benefit. What do I mean by that? Well, simply that if we can rely on ourselves to feel better, if we can rely on ourselves to know what to do to energize us, then why do we even need these external elements? Yes, they are lovely, they can help, They can be a bonus, and certainly having a spa day with friends means you see them, having a drink after work means you get to chat, and there's all that extra energy. But those externals perhaps can be a bolt-on to us being able to find the energy in ourselves to keep going. And by keep going, I probably mean keep growing. Remember, it's not just about getting by. It's about pushing on to succeed, to thrive, to flourish. And I'd like to interject for a minute to talk about survival mode and the additional problems that we can experience when we are simply functioning in survival. Survival, by its very nature, is selfish. You are trying to survive. In the wild, this is survival of the fittest. It is being able to outrun the next person. In 2021, that threat and competition is psychological. We're not necessarily feeling the physical threat, the rustle of the trees in the wild, but rather the emotional and psychological ones, that need for achievement, that need for validation, the worry that if someone else is getting it, we're not, or we're not good enough. The fittest is no longer the strongest, but it can be the richest, the prettiest, the most decorated. And we compare ourselves to others to judge our level. The problem is, when we start to use other people as a benchmark for our own success, we will struggle to win because they will always be better because you're comparing yourself to someone who is already ahead for them. You need to focus on what will put you ahead for you. So how do we make those changes? Try the following. Number one, make sure the challenges you set for yourself are achievable with the resources you have. The first thing to remember is no one ever expects you to get things right first time, even as an adult, except you. Because unfortunately, as adults, we just assume we should be able to do things. But having that unrealistic view of your capabilities can have repercussions for you and for others who might get frustrated. While I will always advocate pushing yourself and trying something new, and indeed getting help should you need it, remember there are also professionals to whom you can turn. Your friends, family, work network, all of them, they may be great supporters, even fundraisers and cheerleaders, but be mindful of what their limits are. Look at what you want to do. Look at what resources you have. And then be honest with the self-appraisal and what you're prepared to do to achieve it. Even if you have limits, if you are authentic, you will be able to face them. Number two, try and appraise the situations you face by recognizing what you can affect and what you can't, and directing your efforts to what you can. So for example, if a loved one is struggling and you cannot help them yourself, you could ask yourself, well, what could I do to make things better for them? This could be simply telling them you're getting there, or offering some practical support, or perhaps acting as a buffer to the people or things that he or she isn't able to face right now. If you focus simply on what you can't affect, all you'll do is worry. Worry is anxiety building, it's all consuming, and does little except exacerbate that negative vibe around you. It stops you being creative and finding options and solutions. Number three, ask yourself when you take something on, is this really my responsibility? You cannot save people from themselves. And often trying to do so is a great way that we use to avoid dealing with the areas of lack in our own lives. If it's within your power, certainly signpost them and be there should they need a cheerleader. But if you're trying to do more and it's really not your place, question, what am I avoiding in myself? And start working on that. By the same token, don't allow other psychodramas to draw you in. Think of drama that people place on you a bit like a gift that you don't want. You can say no. How you say no, I actually use as signposting. I push them elsewhere. Number four, be the person you want to see. Now, this is a common law of attraction approach, but there is a psychological basis for this. If you can identify the behaviours that you want the ideal you to have, Well, then you've got a blueprint of how you can choose to behave. It's perfectly simple to make that choice when you know what it is that you have open to you, when you know your options. So be aware of what it is you're trying to achieve, how that ideal you is going to be able to achieve it, and simply pick and choose from that list. And number five, cherish the positive influences that surround you. Good friends, supportive colleagues, opportunities that find you. It's not just about appreciating them through gratitude, but maintaining and growing and building on them through your actions. Instead of waiting to be invited out, perhaps you drop someone a line to say, "I'm thinking of you." Or work on your own self-growth and self-value so that if they ever need you, you are at your best when you're called to action. And that's even if you're called, perhaps you'd have volunteered it yourself. While survival makes us selfish, we actually do best for others by looking after ourselves, by putting in all of the work to grow, to live, to thrive. Self-care is not what makes us selfish. It's in fact what ensures we are at our peak for other people. It's survival mode that turns us inwards. So, no matter how small, do one thing to nurture yourself today. Turn that into another thing tomorrow. And keep going, because soon, you and likely your corner of the world will begin to flourish in the way you desire. And that's all we've got time for. So for more, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey Tang, for my tried and tested positive psychology and coaching techniques. Go to my website, www.draudreyt.com, for blog articles, which are also packed with the practical tools I use. And if you want to book one-to-one coaching, expert comment, or a wellbeing presenter, email me on audrey@clickproductions.co.uk. Make time to invest in you.